Today's daf is Kiddushin Daf Ayin Dalid. We left off on the bottom of Daf Ayin Gimel and Beis, about 10 lines from the end of the page. We're about to discuss ne'emanus of different people with regard to different issues. We're going to talk about the ne'emanus of a midwife on the yichus of children that are born under her care, the ne'emanus of a bal mekach, someone who had sold something, to say who he had sold it to, the ne'emanus of a dayan, if he had judged a case, to say exactly how the case turned out, and who was the winner of the case. And we're going to talk about who's believed to identify a bechor, to say that this child is a firstborn, and at what stages each of those people are believed. The midwife, the mother, the father. The Gemara is going to explain the chiddush of Abba Shaul, that a mother is ne'emenes to identify the father of her child, meaning what does Abba Shaul teach me that we don't already know from other Mishnayos that we had in Maseches Ksuvos. And then on the bottom of Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, the Mishnah is going to talk about which psulim can marry each other. But we already had a discussion in the previous Mishnah about the different psulim who are allowed to marry each other when we went through all the Asar Yuchsin. So the Gemara is going to have a hard time figuring out what exactly is the topic of our Mishnah in contrast to the topic of the previous Mishnah, and essentially the entire Amud Beis is about that. Is four different shitos as to what is the topic of our Mishnah, where we're talking about psulim marrying each other. There's some sort of machlokas in the Mishnah, so once we figure out the topic, we then have to figure out what the machlokas is really about in the Mishnah. And then at the very end of the daf, the Gemara will discuss who can make a woman pasul through his bia, who has the ability to pasul a woman. So let's begin about 10-12 lines from the end of the page on Ayin Gimel and Beis. Tanu Rabbanan ne'emenes chayalomer ze kohen v'ze levi ze nasin v'ze mamzer. A midwife is believed to say, to identify if she had delivered several children, to identify that this one is the child of the kohen, this one's the child of the levi, this one is the nasin, this one is the mamzer. She can say who's who when the children were born under her care. But that's only shalo kara le'asham irir. That's only if no one has any tightness, no one has said any claims otherwise. Aval kara le'irir in ne'emenus. But if there are people that are claiming otherwise, the chaya loses her ne'emanus. She is no longer going to be believed. So says Mar Ir Demai, what exactly do we mean by an error? How many people are claiming that what she's saying is not true? Ilem Ir Chad, if it's just one person saying that what she's saying is not true, Vam Rabbi Yochanan, Ein Ir Pachas Mishnayim. Rabbi Yochanan says that doesn't work, you need at least two people to make an error. Ela Ir Trei. So it must be that we're talking about two people. V'iba Yisei, Meliol Meimelach Ir Chad. Maybe even if it's just one person arguing on her claims, v'chiyam Rabbi Yochanan Ir Pachas Mishnayim, hani milihecha di'isa chazaka dekashrus. When we say that we pay no attention to an error if it's issued by less than two people, that's only when there's already a cheskas kashrus in place. So you have a cheskas kashrus, we're not going to listen to one person who's going to come and be ma'arer on the cheskas kashrus. Aval hecha deleka cheskas kashrus chad nami mehemen. But if there is no cheskas kashrus, then one person will also be believed. Because if there's no cheskas kashrus, we're starting with a blank slate. We know nothing. We can assume nothing. So therefore, even the error of a single person is enough to take away the ne'emonus of the chaya. Now this idea that a chaya is believed to identify the yichus of the child, the Ran writes that ne'emanus to identify who's a kohen, who's a apostle, is not min adin, it's a takara derabanan, meaning it's not a din da'oraisa, it's just an al pirov, it's our only choice. We have no one else to rely on, because who else is going to be able to identify whose child is whose? Tosa Rush writes that the chaya is ne'emanus on a da'oraisa level, because we learn out from the fact that the Torah believes the father to say who the Bechor is, and why is the father believed? Because he knows his children more than anybody else. So from there we learn that whoever knows more than anybody else has ne'emanus midaraisa, and at this very early stage, the Chaya certainly knows more than anybody else who the child is. That's a machlokas, Ran and Tosas Harash, whether the ne'emanus of the Chaya is ne'emanus midrabanan only, like the Ran says, or even midaraisa, like the Tosas Harash says. The Taz and Balance from Dalat Sivkot Chav writes that according to the Ran, the Ne'amanus of the Chayit to say who's the Kasher, who's the Apostle, is Midaraisa, because the father, I'm sorry, according to Tosafos Rash, it would be Daraisa, because the father is believed about that as well, as we'll soon see. To the father is believed to, so the Chay is Ne'amanus, Lahachshir, and Livsol, not just to identify Kohen Levi, Levi Israelis, all of it would be a Ne'amanus on a Daraisa level. Beis Shmuel just asks on the Ran, who says that who asks on the Shita Saran that the Ne'amanus is only Darabanan, so Beis Shmuel and Ebenezer Simdalit says, well, the Vlad has no Chazaka, like the Gemara pointed out, there's no Cheskas Yisur or Cheskas Heter. So shouldn't we just say Erechadam Bisurin? Meaning in general, whenever you have no Cheskas anything, so we apply the principle of Erechadam Bisurin. Why would we not say Erechadam Bisurin over here? So Pnei Shua and Beis Meir suggest that this is Maila Asu B'yuchsin, that for when it comes to matters of Yichus, we have to take special Chumras, and that includes not just believing the Chaya on a Daraisa level. The Chazan Ish says that the Ran holds that even to say that the Vlad is not possible is considered to be a Davar Shabierva. And by Davar Shabierva, you need Shnei Edim. Meaning even though there's no one getting married right now and there's no issue of Arayos per se at this point in time, but determining a person's status as a Apostle or as a Kasher is considered a Davar Shabierva, and therefore, Ein Davar Shabierva Pachas Mishnayim, you're going to need two Edim. Next issue of Ne'amanus, three lines to the bottom, in Gimel and Beis. Neman Bal Mekach Lomer, a guy who was selling something, is believed to say, Laze Macharti, Laze Ein Macharti. I sold to this person, or Laze Lo Macharti, they changed it to on the side, I did not sell to this person. That's only if he still has the item that he sold. But if he doesn't have it in his hand, he's not going to be believed to identify to whom he sold it. Well, wait a second. If he doesn't have it in his hand, then whoever he sold it to has it in their hand. So shouldn't that be the ultimate raya? Whoever is muchzik in it right now? So Rashi points out, yeah, that would work. Problem is, neither of them have it solely in their possession. What's happening is, ushneyam uchz. Both of the potential people who are arguing about it are holding on to it. So Einon Emon, then the Bal Mekach is no longer believed because he no longer has it in his hand. Why is he not believed? So Rashi explains, the kimad delava le ramya sulo daik gliskar lemihu. It's not his responsibility to remember who he sold it to, and therefore, meaning once the deal is over, it's over. So he's not going to remember who he sold it to. He's also not nogea bedavar. The discussion the Rishonim is, why is it that the guy is believed when he does have it in his hand? So Rashi says when he does have it in his hand, he's believed mitakanas chachamim that and they were misaking this because he normally does know who he sold it to, and he's not nogea bedavar because what difference does it make to him who gets it? So just like a chaya and a dayan, we have a takana that they should be believed. So with the bal mekach, we have a takana that he should be believed as well. Tosos, however, quotes from Rabbeinu Tam that his ne'amanus is based on amigo, that if he still has it in his hands, the person who sold it has it in his hands, he's believed because of amigo. He could have said, lo macharti, because he still has it. He could have said, I never sold it to anybody. So since he's acknowledging that he did sell it, we believe him about who he sold it to. The other Rishonim, other Rishon, the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ritva also bring that the Ne'amanus is based on Amigo, but they add that even if there are Eidim that he sold it, where you would say, well, wait a second, there goes his Migo. His whole Migo is that he could have said he never sold it to anybody, so we're going to believe him about who he sold it to. So the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ritva, they say, no, even if there are Eidim that he sold it, where he's not able to say Lo Macharti, but Midrabanan Mo'osein and Konos. So a person wants to be Choser from a Kinyan of money, he's only Mekabel Mishapara. It's a terrible thing to back out on one's word, but the kinyan is not done. So even if he already sold it to one of them, he could still back out on it. So the edim can essentially be ignored in terms of his ability to have amigos. So we could still say that he's believed to identify who he sold it to. Migo that he could just back out of the whole sale and keep it for himself, or back out of the whole sale and resell it to the other person, because there's nothing halachically binding him to the sale. Mos is ein and kono. Zuz. Says the Gemara, V'nechzi Zuzi Miman Nakat, if we want to be able to identify who he sold it to, why don't we just look at who he got the money from? He says, "Mar lo tzricha denakat mitravaihu." We're talking about a case where he got the money from both parties. Va'amar chad mida'atai, v'chad balkarchi. And he says, one of these people gave me the money in as per our agreement for the sale, that I'm selling him this item, and he gave me the money. And the other one just very much wanted the item and was trying to force me to sell it to him and threw the money at me, but I wasn't really interested in accepting the money. And so I don't know which one. And we don't know which one was midaito and which one was not midaito. So now the Baal Mekach is believed to say which one was which. He's believed to say Reuven is the one that gave me the money as per our agreement that he's selling me something and that I'm selling him something. And Shimon was the one that was just trying to strong arm me into a sale that I wasn't making to him. So that's the second case of Ne'amanus, the Ne'amanus of a Baal Mekach. Now we move on to another case of Ne'amanus. Ne'aman Dayan Lomar, Lezeh Zachisi Ulezeh Chiyavti. After a court case is over, a Dayan is believed to say, this is the person who won the court case, and this is a person who lost the court case. The Rishonim over here as well, the Rashba, the Ritva, the Ran, all the usual Rishonim, write that this Ne'amanus is mitakanas chachamim, that the chachamim were misakin to believe the Dayan, because he's probably the one that knows best how he paskin, since it was up to him to paskin the case. However, the Shita L'Nodalmi explains that just like we find a shlish is Ne'aman, because a mafkid believes the shlish, whatever the shlish is going to say happens to the pikadon, meaning someone who's entrusted with a pikadon is believed to say who it really belongs to, so too, that's how the Ne'amanus works over here. That if these two Balei Din go in front of this Dayan, what they're saying is that we trust you. So they are giving him, they are granting him the Ne'amanus by appearing in his courtroom, by going in front of him and submitting to his judgment. The Imre Bina just points out, Nafkamina, between the Shitos, whether you say it's based on Takanas Chachamim, that we believe that he's the most likely to remember, or it's based on the Ne'amanus that they give to him, is not Nafkamina might be by a Dayan who's not a Jew. That if it's a Takanas Chacham, so it could be that he's not believed, the Chacham were not Masakin, that a guy would be Ne'aman. But if it's like a Shlish, that they're giving Ne'amanus, whoever we trust, and if it's a non-Jew, a Shlish Nachri, the Rashbash writes in the Tshuva, a Shlish Nachri is also Ne'aman, because that Ne'amanus is Mikra Adin. The Balei Adin are granting him Ne'amanus, they're authorized to grant him Ne'amanus, and that's it, and therefore he has full-fledged Ne'amanus. Says Mar Bamedvar Mamurim, Shabali Dinim Omdim Lefanav. But that's only if the Balei Dinim are still standing in front of him. Avlein Balei Dinim Omdim Lefanav, Eino Ne'aman. But once the Balei Din are no longer in front of him, the Dayan is no longer going to be believed. If you look at Rashi, Bizman Shabbat Din, in front of Ramya Alei Lemidkar, that's when it's on him, it's his responsibility to remember, Shadayin Lo Yatsumi Shamisha Gamruas Dinam. They're still standing in his courtroom, Vomrish Ploni Zaka Ish Ploni Chayv, Shein Balei Din, in front of Sulo Ramya Alei Lemidkar. But when once the Balei Din are no longer there, he doesn't have to remember every case that he ever had. So, frak the Gemara v'nechzi zuchusa man nakit. Why don't we just see which one has the psak din in their hand that certifies that they won? So says Mar lo tzricha de kariya zuchusayhu. The case is it got torn up. There is no paper evidence. There is no nothing to look at to say that we have clear evidence that one person was the winner and one person was not. So frak the Gemara. But if you're not sure who won the din Torah, there's an easy way to tell who was really correct in the dispute and who was incorrect in the dispute. Just try the case over again, and you'll see everyone will bring the same tainas and the same witness. And mistama, if we trust the system, mistama will come to the same conclusion we came to last time. Answers the Gemara: it wasn't a regular psak. B'shuda d'dayni. It was a psak of a shuda d'dayni. What does that mean? So this is a famous machlokas Rashi tells us wherever shuda d'dayni is mentioned, this machlokas comes up and over here as well. Shuda d'dayni says Rashi, b'din she'enu b'tali b'tam el akol b'piv shel dayan. This is a din that did not depend on any evidence or any clear evidence one way or the other. Rather, it was all up to the dayan. Just like the case in Ksuvus where a guy says, I'm giving all my nechasim to Tuvia, two people named Tuvia show up, and they both Shneim Krovim, Shneim Shcheinim. It's all even. Everything points that's totally even. He could have meant either one of them. So what do we say over there? Shuda Dedaini Lemisha Yisnadiv Leva Dain Lomer Nirali Shazaha Yeragil Atzlo Yosel Azeh Nasan. Whatever the gut feeling of the Dayan of who he has a closer relationship with, who he more likely would have wanted to give all of his nechasim to, that's the one that he gives it to. V'kivat shapasakein and balachzar enochozer. Once you give the psak of shudda d'daini, that's it. You can't go back and try the din because it wasn't a din Torah. It was based on a gut feeling of who we had a closer relationship to. So that you can't retry something like that. This is Rashi l'shitasa. Rashi all over the place explains that that's what shudda d'daini means. If you look at Tosfos on the first skinny line, v'kashal Rabbeinu Tam. If Shudda Daini really means that we look at a svara, that we look at what makes the most sense, well, if he had a feeling which one was the rightful winner in the first case by Shudda Daini, so why can't they try it again? And he'll probably have that same feeling again, and we'll be able to determine which one is the victor in the Din Torah. Va'od, and not only that, Parakam the Gittin Amrinan Helach Manal Ploni Tani Chada Halach Mitzal Shemes Yachsu LiYorshe Mishaleach V'Tani Idach LiYorshe Misha Nishtalach Lo Umasa Kanam Rushuda Adif V'Asim Yevshel Farish Pirusha Kuntros. What if it's a case where there is no gut? There is no. It's a question of when someone died, and you don't know. No one was there, so we don't know. We have absolutely no idea. So over there, the Gemara says, yeah, still say Shuda. Well, according to Rashi, Shuda is go with your gut. Go with what you think is really right. There is no gut when you're dealing with a metzias. You're dealing with, I don't know if he died at 2 o'clock or at 3 o'clock. How are you supposed to? So does lekach pirush Rabbeinu Tam? Therefore, Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. Says no. Shuda d'daini to kol mashi yirtza dayin lasos yasa the hefker abeis din ha ya hefker. Shuda d'daini is whatever you want to do is fine because hefker abeis din is hefker, and shuda is the dayanim having full rights to make the determination without believing one way or the other. They get to choose. And the riot to Rabbeinu Tam is from the Gemara in Ksubas of Sadi Dalid, where it talks about Shnei Shtaros Shoyu B'Yom Echad, and they both came in front of Rav Sheshes, and Rav Sheshes Agvi, Rav Sheshes Zachad Minayu, and then they came to Rav Nachman and Agvi Li'idach. So he came back to Rav Sheshes, so he said, "My time Avin Marachi, why did you do like you did?" And he said, "The Kadim, that one of the Shtaros was written in the morning and one of them was written in the evening." So he says, "What? Do we write the Zman in the Shtar? Only in Yerushalayim they write the Zman in the Shtar." So he says, "At my Daiteich, why did you Paskin otherwise?" Shuda d'daini. He said, "I did shuda d'daini." So he said, "Ananami shuda d'daini." Oh yeah, well then I also did shuda d'daini. So I'm like, "Anadayana umar lav dayana." I'm allowed to do shuda d'daini. You're not allowed to do shuda d'daini because I'm a dayan. You're not a dayan. Now who are the characters over here? It's Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. So what? Rav Sheshes is not qualified. Rav Sheshes is not a Talmud Chacham. Rav Sheshes is not able to come to a determination. So says Tosos, according to Rabbeinu Tam, it makes a lot of sense. Because according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's all based on Hefker, Beis, and Hefker. It's not about making a judgment, making a determination. One can only apply Hefker, Beis, and Hefker if they are a Dayan Kavua, if they're an authorized Dayan. Hilchasak Rav Nachman Bedini. Rav Nachman was known as a Dayan Kavua. So therefore, Rav Nachman can apply Hefker, Beis, and Hefker. Rav Sheshes, great Talmud Chacham, but not the Dayan Kavua. So Meili doesn't have the Koach of Hefker, Beis, and Hefker. It's not knock on Rav Sheshes. It's not that he's that his stature as a Talmud Chacham is any less. But just like a person can be a very great Talmud Chacham, still can't do the Avod in the Beis Hamidrash because he's not a Kohen. If a person is not able, to, if a person is not a Dayan Kavua, Meili, there is no Hefker, Beis, and Hefker, no matter how big a Talmud Chacham the person might be. So that's Tosfos Raya to Shitas Rabbeinu Tam about what Shuda D'daini means. But even the Gemara's question, now Hadavini Daini, the Ritva raises the issue. What do you mean, do the case over again? It could be that Yachlifu Tano Seyem, the guy who lost, is going to realize what a losing strategy is now. Now that he's gone through this once in the Beis Din, and he realizes that he lost the first time, so he'll change all of his Tainos, and he'll change his whole case up. So the Ritva says, that we're talking about that the Shtari Atayin, Hatainos are still around. The Sofrim of the Beis Din, the court reporter, whatever, the person who records everything that happens, still has records of everything that was said. Because otherwise, in a chinami, you'd have to be choshesh that yachlifu tanoseim. The Rashba raises the question when the Gemara asks, now, why don't we just do it again? Why don't we believe the Dayan with the Migo that he could have said that he didn't paskin at all? And that now he's going to issue a psak. So you can't say that there were edim that he paskin and they just don't know what he paskin, because what are the chances of that? That there are edim that that the Dayan came to psak, but they have no recollection whatsoever of what his psak was. And furthermore, the Rashba asks, and this whole din that it says in the Braisa that if the Balei Adinim are no longer there, he's not believed. Why isn't he believed with the Migo? So the Rashba says that since the Balei Din are moda, that the Dayan already paskined his din, so Hodas Bal Din is Kamei Edim, that he no longer has Shaychus to them and he can't dan them anymore. Okay, weiter in the Gemara. Now, Amar Rav Nachman, Shlosh Ne'amanim Ala Bechar, bringing it back to Ne'amanus with Yichus related issues, there are three people that are believed about a Bechar to say that a child is firstborn. Eluhain, Chaya, the midwife, Aviv, the father, Vi'imo, and the mother. But they're believed at different times. Chaya Lialter, the midwife is believed right away because she's the only one that knows as soon as the baby's born. Imo Kol Shiva, the mother is believed Kol Shiva for the first 7 days of the child's life before the father has any responsibilities toward the child, as Rashi points out. Adayin Ein Aviv Makirbo Shelo Yatzu Mitachas Yidei Imo Likanis Lebris. The mother has not let go of the child for the first 7 days. It's only after the child is 7 days old that the father will get to see the kid to bring him to the Bris Mila. But after that, it's Mutal Alaviv to recognize the child because it's the father's responsibility to bring him to the Bris. And then Aviv Liolam. Then once the father is charged with knowing who his kid is, he's going to be Ne'aman forever. That's his Ne'aman is going to last forever. The Korban Nisan and the Lechem Mishnah write that this is Machlokas Rashi and the Rambam over here. Rashi holds that the father is not believed B'toch Zayin because he has no idea who the child is before seven. The mother never let go of the child. The Rambam, however, in Hilchos Nachlos, the Rambam writes that father is Ne'aman Liolam. Period. He doesn't say anything about not being believed. Sounds like even betoch Shiva, even within the first 7 days, he's believed. The Taz says that that he thinks even according to Rashi, the father would be believed right away because granted he doesn't recognize him right away, but if he says that I do recognize him, so then he would be believed. Since it's just not that it's normally the first person you would ask within the first week of life. That's all Rashi tried to say is the mother, not the father. But if the father claims that he does recognize, he does know who the baby is, then he would be believed even betoch Shiva, which is a chiddush because it sounds more like from Rashi that the father has no idea within the first 7 days. Kidetanya, like we learned in the Braisa, Yakir Yakirenu Lacherim Mikanam Rabidu Neman Adonomer Zebni Bechar. Person is believed to say, this is my child who is a Bechar. Kshem Shnem Alomer Zebni Bechar. Kach Ne'amanomer Zeben Grushav Zeben Chalutza. Just like he's believed to say that this child is a Bechar, he's also believed to say that this child is a Ben Grushav Ben Chalutza. The Chum Mamrim Eino Ne'aman, and the Chum say that he's not believed. Tosa Rosh raises the question, how could he say that his wife is a Grusha or a Chalutza? Don't we have a principle in Adam Mesa Matzma Rasha? Meaning here you have a Kohen saying that his child is not a Kohen, he's a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, which means if you're saying that about your own child, that he's a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, means you're saying that the woman you had a baby with is a Grusha or a Chalutza. So you see, he's saying that he's violated the Lav D'Oraisa. So says Tosa Rush, since he could be saying it in a way where that the child is a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, but that he was unaware at the time that he married the woman that the woman was a Grusha or a Chalutza. He's saying it has since come to my attention that she's a Grusha or a Chalutza. So it's not he's not being Mesa Matzmo Rasha. The Ritva says that he's, even if he says that he knew she was a Grusha, he's believed. So apparently if he's not worried about any of the Mesa Matzmo Rasha for some other reason, but you have to figure out why he would be believed, whatever happened. Okay, Abba Shaul Hayakore Lishtuki Beduki. The Mishnah had said that Abba Shaul would refer to a Shtuki as a Beduki, because Beduki means that you can look into it, meaning a Shtuki meant that you know who the mother is, but you don't know who the father is. So Abishal says, that's not the end of the story. You can always find out. So my beduki, what does it mean to be bodek? If it means that we interview the mother and she says, yes, the father was a kosher person, ne'emenes, and then the mother would be believed, kiman, kerem gamliel. This seems to be following the opinion of Rav Gamliel. We have a series of mishnayos in the first paragraph of Ksuvus where Rav Gamliel and Rav Lazar and Rav Yeshua have a disagreement about ne'emanos of a woman to say who the baby is from. So Tanina Chadazimna, but we already learned this once. We already learned in Ksuvus Titanan Isamu Beres. A woman was pregnant. Ramula Mati Vashalubrazet, and they say to her, "Where's this baby from?" Amra Lahem, she says, "Meyish Ploni Vekoinhu. It comes from this guy, and he's a Kohen." Ram Gamliel Reb Lazar Amr Ne'emenes. Ram Gamliel Reb Lazar both say that she's Ne'emenes. But Reb Yeshua Amr Lo Mipia Anuchayin, that what's coming out of her mouth is not something we live off of. We live off of truth, and what's coming out of her mouth is not the truth. But we already paskin like Rabbi Gamliel. So what's Abishol adding over here? That you could ask the mother of the child who the father is, and if she says that it was kosher, we believe her? We already know that because we know we paskin like Rabbi Gamliel, that you're allowed to ask a pregnant woman, how did you get pregnant? Who was it? And if she says that it was a kosher person, we believe her. Sayans Gemara, chadu lahachshir ba, v'chadu lahachshir bibita. That Rabbi Gamliel is telling us that we believe her about herself, that she's not a chalala, that she's allowed to eat truma, but not to be machshir the baby, because the baby didn't have a cheskas kashrus yet. So that's what Abishol is adding, that not only do we believe the mother with regard to herself, we believe the mother with regard to the baby as well. So frankly, that works very well if you assume that we didn't already learn that in Ksuvis, that you could be machshir ba and postal babita. But if you hold that already in the Mishnah and Ksuvis, whenever you're being machshir ba, you're being machshir bita as well. Abishol mayasalashmina. Then what is the chiddush of Abishol that we didn't already know? And so Gemara da Abishol adipa midram gamliel. Dime hasam avamina hasam derov ksherin etzla. Abishol is teaching us a chiddush beyond what Rabbi Gamliel is teaching us, because over there, Rav Gamliel says she's ne'emenes in a situation where Rov K'sherin Etzla, most people that she could have been with, she was a single girl, most people that she could have been with would be kosher. Aval Heicha D'Rov P'sulin Etzla Emelo. But if you had a case where Rov P'sulin Etzla, where most people would be possible, for example, she's an Arusa, and she says, yeah, you know who this baby is from? If she would say anyone on planet Earth, except for the Arus, except for the man that she has, that she's married to, it would passel, absolutely. But so it's an overwhelming majority of Rov P'sulin Etzla, so Emelo, I would think that she should not be believed. Tzricha, that's what Abishol is coming to tell me, that even then she's believed. Even if it's not Stam, a single girl, where the large majority of people would not passel her, the large majority of people are people who are kosher, but even if she's an Arusa, where the large majority of people would absolutely passel her, still she's believed. Amarava Allah Kabishol, and Rava says that we paskin in the end like Abishol, that the halacha follows Abishol. Good, so now we have a new Mishnah. The Mishnah is going to discuss those who are allowed to marry each other, those psulim who are allowed to and not allowed to marry each other. Kol ha'asurin lava b'kal, mutarim lava zebezeh. Whoever is usher to marry into the kahal, which is a term we're going to have to translate, kahal normally means a regular, to marry a regular Jew, that anyone who's not allowed to marry a regular Jew is allowed to marry each other. Rabbi Yehuda oser, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, they're not even allowed to marry each other. So most of the rest of the daf is going to just focus on what is this machlokas? What's the case? Who are these asurim lava b'kal? What do Rabbi Yehuda and Tanakama disagree about? We're going to have four deos. Rabbi Lazar omer, Vada'an bivada'an mutter, if it's a vada'i, someone who's asalava bakal, with someone who's a vada'i asalava bakal, they're allowed to marry each other. Vada'an bisvekan, but a vada'i psul, with a suffix psul, usvekan bivada'an, usvekan bisvekan, or even a suffix psul with another suffix psul, Usher. It's usher to marry each other because one of them might be pasul, the other one might be kasher, and that's going to be a problem. Ve'elu ein asfekos, and the sfekos are defined as shtuki, asufi, vikuti. Those are the people who are identified as sfekos. Now, shtuki and asufi, we understand very well that they are inherently a safek. A shtuki, we have no idea who the father is, and asufi, we have no idea who the father or the mother is. Kuti doesn't seem to be a safek. The Gemara is going to have to discuss that. Why we call a kuti a safek. Now, my kol asur in love of bakal. So let's just translate the terminology. The Mishnah uses this term, kol asur in love of bakal. What does that mean, kol asur in love of bakal? So says the Gemara, ile mamzerin nesini shtuki vasufi. If kol asur in love of bakal means a mamzer and a nasin, which are vaday pasul, and they to a shtuki and a sufi, which are safek pasul, those are the ones that are mutter lovel zebazah, meaning that they're allowed to marry each other, even though the mamzer and the sinim are vaday psul, and the shtuki and a sufi are safek psulim, that they're allowed to marry each other. Hatanalei reisha. We already learned this in the Mishnah at the beginning of the paragraph of Samachtas, that mamzeri nisini shtuki vasufi mutarim lavo zebezeh. So why do I need to repeat that din again over here? We already had in the previous Mishnah. Visu, and if you're going to say that the Tana comes to bimatir all of these people who are aser between the vaday and the safik psulim to marry each other, Rabbi Yehuda oser, when Rabbi Yehuda says aser aheya, which of the psulim is Rabbi Yehuda saying that they're not allowed to be lovel zebezeh, that they're not allowed to marry each other? Ilei mavadon besveikon. If it's talking about exactly this, that a vaday psul marrying a safek psul, hamidiktani sefer, but the sefer already said, Rabbi Lazar mavadon bevadon mutar vadon besveikon, sveikon besveikon, aser. Rabbi Lazar holds a vaday besafek is aser. So the mechal Rabbi Yehuda lo svirulei, which implies that Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's not aser a vaday against a safek. So in what way is Rabbi Lazar disagreeing with Rabbi Yehuda? If Rabbi Yehuda is just telling me that the Vaday and the Safek are not allowed to marry each other, v'chi tamer Rabbi Yehuda oser ager b'mamzeres, and if you're going to say no, Rabbi Yehuda comes to aser ager in a mamzeres, because kal gerim according to Rabbi Yehuda is ikri kahal, that a kal gerim is considered to be part of the kal, like we had that machlokus Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi on ayin beis amid beis, whether kal gerim is ikri kahal, whether a ger is allowed to marry a mamzeres, and in that sense Rabbi Yehuda is arguing on the Tanakama. Well, midi ger b'mamzeres. Did the Tanakhama say anything about a ger and a mamzeres being mutter, that Rabbi Yehuda is coming to be cholik? Kol asur lava bakal katani. The Tanakhama used a much broader terminology. Anyone who's asur lava bakal, it's all about psule kal. A ger is not amongst the psule kal. So why would you assume that we're talking about a ger over here? So the Gemara has four interpretations of the Mishnah. Interpretation number one. Amar Rav Yehuda. Really, Rav Yehuda says Rabbi Yehuda is arguing on the heter of Ger u'mamzeres like we just suggested. And that's what the Tanakhama is talking about as well. We had a problem. Why does the Tanakhama say kol asurim lova b'kal? He's not talking about psulei kal when he says kol asurim lova b'kal. He's really talking about psulei kahuna, not psulei kal. Hachi ka'amar. The Tanakhama means say as follows, kol asurim lova b'kal kahuna. Anyone is not allowed to be lova b'kal kahuna, who's a psulei kahuna. Meinin hu, and who are those people who are psulei kahuna that are not included in psulei kal? Gioris p'chusim b'shaloshanim v'yomechad. That a gioris who converted when she was less than 3 years old, according to the Rabbanan we're going to have in a few days in the Dafayin Ches, she's a surah lekohen. Udulok Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, and that's against Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, who holds that a gioris that's less than 3 years old is muteres lekuna, that if she converted less than 3 years old, she's muteres lekuna. So the Tanakhama is adding to the previous Mishnah, the psul lekuna, that discussed psul lekuna, and saying that a gioris less than 3 years old is psulekuna, and she is mutaris bekal Yisrael, but she's psulekuna. So mutar and lavo zebezeh, they're allowed to marry into psulekal. They're allowed to marry mamzerim munasinim. So frak the Gemara, why do you say that the Tanakhama is talking about psulekuna, kol asurim lavo bekal kuna, and it's talking about someone who's less than 3 years old, and it's therefore going against Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai? V'nokma b'vash shalosh an v'yom echad. Why don't you say we're talking about a girl who converted after the age of 3? And then you could even say that we're following the Shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, that the Gioris is also lava b'kal kuna, because she's certainly, if she converts after 3, she's a psule kuna. So says Gemara, im kain, if you're going to say that we're talking about a Gioris who converted after 3 and we're following Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, mitzida tavra. The answer is right there. from the diuk that comes out of it, that a gioris pachos mi bashal shanim is usher to a mamzer, we'd be able to make such a diuk, because elataima de bashal shanim yamechad, we would have been able to be medayik, oh, why is it that she's allowed to marry psulim, because she only converted after the age of 3, and we would have been medayik hapchus mi bashal shanim yamechad, but had she converted when she was younger, to mutaris lava bakal kuhuna, where according to Rabbi Shimon, she's allowed to marry into kuhuna, asura lava uzebzeh, she's not allowed to marry other psulim. Harib chusim v'ashal shalom yamechel Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai to mutar slava b'kal kuna umutar slava zabzeh. But if a giores is less than 3 years old, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, she's allowed to marry kalkuna and she's mutar slava zabzeh. The reason v'ashal shalom was mutar to marry psulim is because kal gerim is not called kal. For that same reason, we should be matir giores who was megayir when she's less than 3 years old in psule kal, because she's not bechlal kal. So you have to say the Tanakhama doesn't hold that Rabbi Shimon. He holds that any time a giyoris is asur bakuna, whether she was megayir when she was 3 years old or before she's 3 years old, she's going to be psule kuna, and that therefore the Tanakhama says this rule that anyone who's also lava bakal kuna is mutter lava bipsule kal. So the Gemara says no, we still don't like this interpretation of the Mishnah, because uklalahu the kala asur lava bakal kuna mutarim lava zebzeh, that anyone who's possible to kalkuna is allowed to marry general psule kal, is allowed to marry people who generally are not allowed to marry into the kal, vare almana, ugrusha, vichalala, vizona, all of these things, dasrum lava bakalkuna, they're all psule kuhuna, they're all apostle to marry kuhuna. The Gileone Ashas points out, almana doesn't seem to belong on the list, because almana is not really psule kuhuna, almana is only a psul for a kohen gadol, but be that as it may, all of these people that are normally psule kuhuna, vasurum lava zebzeh, and they're not allowed to marry psule kal, they can't just go marry mamzeres, they're not allowed to marry, even though they're psule kuhuna, so you see that this is not an ironclad rule. And not only that, from the fact that we were not matir to marry that psuli kuna are allowed to marry mamzeres, it implies hamutter that someone who's mutter bikuhuna is aser bimamzeres, would be aser to marry mamzeres. Very ger shemutter bikohenes, but what about a ger? A ger is allowed to marry a kohenes, umutter bimamzeres, but is also allowed to marry a mamzeres. So the rule doesn't work in either way. It doesn't work to tell me that anyone who is allowed to marry a kohen is aser to marry psuli kal. Nor does it work to say anyone who's usher to marry a kohen is necessarily allowed to marry psule kal. So Ella, rather than Gemara, says a second interpretation of our Mishnah. Amar of Nasan Bar Hoshaya, the Tana of our Mishnah comes to add on to the psule kal that it said in the previous Mishnah, and it's adding psule kuna as well. But it doesn't mean that anyone who's usher to kal kuna is mutter in psule kal. No, hachi kamer. This is what the Tana kam is saying. Kol shekohen asulisa esbito. Anyone who's not allowed to marry off his daughter lekuhuna umaynihu, and what type of psulim cannot marry their daughters off lekuhuna? Ger shenasa gioras. If both parents of the girl are a ger, that daughter is not allowed to marry kuhuna. Ukrablaz ben Yaakov, and like that follows the sheet of Rablaz ben Yaakov and Ayin Zayinam and Aleph. So that's your mutar and lavo zebezeh. They're allowed to marry psule kahal, even though they're not the people whose daughters are not allowed to marry kohanim are allowed to marry psule kahal. So says Mar, but still that doesn't work. Uklalahu, is that really a rule that holds true? The kol shekoyin asulisas bito mutar and that whenever a kohen is not allowed to marry the guy's daughter, that daughter is allowed to marry psule kal? Vare chalal shenasa bas Yisrael. What if you have a chalal, a guy who's a chalal marries a regular Jewess? The kohen asur lisabito. The kohen is not allowed to marry the daughter of this marriage. But vasrum nami lovas abzeh. But these chalalim are definitely not allowed to marry a mamzer. They're not allowed to marry psule kal. So how can you say it as a set rule? So says Gemara lo kasha. That's not really a kasha. Rabbi Distoy ben Yehuda. Maybe we're assuming like the sheet of Rabbi Distoy ben Yehuda, who we'll have in a couple of days, that a chalal marries a bas Yisrael, the daughter is kasha lukuna, and therefore that doesn't enter into this rule. But the Gemara still says vare chalal shenasa chalala. What if a chalal marries a chalala? The kohen asur lisa bito, where everyone would agree, even Rabbi Distoy ben Yehuda would agree that the kohen is not allowed to marry the daughter of such a marriage. Va'asunami lava zebzeh. But the daughter of such a marriage is also not allowed to marry a mamzer, not allowed to marry psule kal visu. And not only that, from the Tanu who said that anyone whose daughter is asked to marry a kohen is allowed to marry psule kal. hamutter, that would imply that if his daughter is mutter to marry a kohen, then usser, then it would be usser for psulekal. Is that rule true? Is the inverse true? Vare ger shenas abas Yisrael, v'kohen mutter lisabito. A ger marries abas Yisrael. That their daughter is allowed to marry a kohen, according to Rabbi ben Yaakov. And nevertheless, umutorin lavel zebezeh. But still, they're allowed to marry psulekal because kal gerim is not called kal, so they're allowed to marry psulekal. So rather, the Gemara says third interpretation of our the case over here is the Mishnah is talking about a mamzer who's born from a guy who sleeps with his sister who's a chiv kares, and a mamzer who's born with a guy who sleeps with an ashes ish. That's the machlokas, whether a mamzer from a choso is allowed to marry a mamzer me ashes ish. Tanakam sav rafilu mamzer me a choso nami avi mamzer, that even a mamzer from a choso is called a mamzer, and therefore they're allowed to marry a mamzer me ashes ish. Rabbi Yehuda sav me ashes ish have a mamzer me a choso love. Mamzer. That only from the sisters of mamzer, not from a choso. My kamash malam tanino, but we already know this machlokas. Ezu mamzer kol shu below yavo. Diver Rabbi Akiva. Mamzer is anyone that is Rabbi Akiva holds a mamzer is any product of any usher marriage. Shimna timni yomer kol shechavnu of karis bidei shemayim. Anyone is chayav ikrisus or worse. Va'alacha kedvarav, and that's what we pass. Rabbi Shomer kol shechavnu of mispeizdin. Anyone is chayav mispeizdin. So you see this machlokas where the chayav ikrisus creates mamzeris. Ela amarava ger amoni moavi. Fourth interpretation of the machlok between Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda is whether gerim amoni moavim are mutter b'mamzeres. V'achi kamar kol asum lavo b'kal ma'iniu ger amoni moavi. Anyone is not allowed to marry the kal, referring to a ger amoni moavi, mutar and lavo zebezeh. Ihachi, if that's the case of our Mishnah, amai Rabbi Yehuda oser. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say it's they're aser b'mamzeres? These gerim are not called kal. So achi kamar, what the Tan and the Mishnah is telling us is that a ger amoni moavi that are aser b'kal mutter b'mamzeres. Afal pish Rabbi Yehuda oser ger. Even though Rabbi Yehuda Aser is a ger b'mamzeres, hanimili ger the royal level bekal. That's only a ger whose royal level bekal is aser b'mamzeres. However, ger amoni moavi, they ain't royal level bekal lo, but a ger amoni moavi who's not royal level bekal is not going to be aser b'mamzeres. So those are the four interpretations of our Mishnah. Tomorrow we'll pick up a ton of Rabbanan.